to be said for folks that need it. Visitors, we're happy that you're here. So very thankful that you're here. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Please know that you encourage us by your presence. And just a couple things before we get into the lesson. And number one, thank all the ladies. I appreciate that, Matt. For attending the Harvest of Blessing brunch. It's a tongue tire for me. Those that set it up, I'm thankful my wife was willing to do that. I'm thankful for her and everyone that helped set it up, especially Linda and her wonderful help. Christy just absolutely praised her for all that. I don't want to embarrass her, but I wanted to say that. And everyone else that helped. It was a great success, and it was just wonderful. Now, she also wanted me to tell you, if you weren't able to make that, there are some gifts that they made, some extra gifts in the foyer. If you want to take those and bring them to a shut-in, someone that's sick, a friend or a neighbor, neat little gifts that they made for that. There's some extras in the foyer. So if you weren't able to attend, grab some of those. We'll give them a shot first, and then other folks, if you need extra, grab some and make sure they get out to who needs it. And also this Wednesday, instead of Bible class, a regular Bible class, we're going to meet in here and we're going to sing songs of praise and have some prayer time of praise and thanksgiving, read scripture on Thanksgiving. And so please be a part of that. And man, I've already went around getting those who can do what and be involved here and there. We'll have an order of events in the way we're going to do it. Once I get everyone's thumbs up, they're willing to do what I'm asking them to do. And be mindful of that. We'll have that time of singing. There we go. All right. Let's go ahead and say a prayer before we begin our lesson here. If you would, bow with me, please. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, so much for being such a loving and kind and merciful Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity of worship, that we as your people can come before you and offer up praise and adoration with thankful hearts. We're thankful, Father, for the blessings that we have in Christ. Let us never forget those blessings, Father. Let us live before you with that knowledge in our minds and our hearts continuously. We know, Father, that you are all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. We know, Father, that you can look down to the very depths of our hearts, and you know what's going on in there. And Father, we come before you this morning praying, Father, that you would cleanse our hearts as your people, those who belong to Jesus. And in doing that, Father, we thank you for that blessing. Bless our worship service, Father, in this portion. May our hearts and our minds be open to your word. We know the purpose of your word, Father, is to convict us, to change us, and to challenge us. And I pray, Father, as I give these words, that is what is accomplished. Again, we thank you for Jesus and the love that he showed us in that sacrifice. And it's in his holy name that we pray. Amen. Giving thanks, of course, is what we're talking about. And Brother Matt, you couldn't have picked any better songs, especially how I'm going to begin the lesson, looking at John chapter 3 and asking you something. But giving thanks, right? This is that time of year, this week, approaching Thanksgiving. And for many people, it's their favorite time of the year. And it's not just for the food, but it's the time we can get together with family and friends. And it's a time where we can slow down and give thanks, right? And I think it's the best celebration that any nation or people could have. Outside of coming before God on the first day of every week. So it's a good thing. We're gonna give thanks, and it's a wonderful holiday, and it's a wonderful time of celebrating what God has given us and being thankful. This morning, I want to take that word Thanksgiving, and I want to flip it around and talk about giving thanks. Right? Well, we're never going to be thankful unless, until we give thanks. And I want to look at it from that perspective. And I want to talk about how we should be thankful to give and not just be thankful to receive what we've received. And so as we begin here, I want to ask you a question that you're going to know the answer to. It's an easy task, don't worry. John chapter 3, verse 16, I want you to fill in the blank, looking at the passage here. For God so loved the world that He gave, right? God, by His very nature, is a giver. He gave His only begotten Son, right? And in that, He wants us to believe, and in that, He wants us to respond to that wonderful gift of His Son. The very nature of our God is that He's a giver. He wants to give to you. He continuously gives to His children. He's a giver. That's His nature. That's His character. His desire is to give to you. Now, our response to that needs to be, number one, to receive that gift. And then next, to grow in the characteristics of God, to be like God more and more every day in our walk, to be like Christ more and more every day. And in that, as we mature, then we become givers ourselves, because our God's a giver. He gave first to us, and we receive that gift, that blessing of Jesus Christ, being washed in the blood of the Lamb when we obey the gospel. Now, what am I going to do in that walk because He's a giver? Now, I'm going to be a giver. It's a natural response. God wants you saved. God wants you to live with Him for all of eternity. And so He does that one thing here that you and I could not do, and that is save ourselves from ourselves through the blood of Jesus here. If you go back a little bit more there in the book of John in chapter 1, you see a word there. We use the word incarnate sometimes. Speaking of Emmanuel, Jesus, meaning God with us. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, God in the flesh dwelt or tabernacled among men. What a great blessing that is. Our God is a giver. Now what's your response to that? Knowing and believing that God is a giver, He's proved it. There's evidence that He's a giver. Now what are you going to do about that? How are you going to respond to that gift? That's a question I want us to begin thinking about this morning. Now, I don't know if you remember several years ago, I think it's been 6 or 7 years ago. You remember on Facebook, it was a big deal, the Ice Bucket Challenge. You remember that? It was a big deal. And the purpose of the Ice Bucket Challenge was to really to donate money and awareness for ALS. And if you don't know what it was, I mean, it was a big deal all over the nation. Is you challenge somebody publicly, normally on Facebook, to do the Ice Bucket Challenge. Right? And then they would sit in a chair and they'd come up with different ways for somebody to get a big bucket or tub of ice cold water and dump it on them. Right, and then they were supposed to give money to ALS. And then they would publicly challenge somebody else to do it. They'd call them out. You know, I challenge you, Eddie, to do the Ice Bucket Challenge. Right, and then there was this kind of public pressure for then you to do the Ice Bucket Challenge, dump the water, give money, and then you would challenge somebody else. And so I don't know if you remember that, and it was very interesting. It was a very ingenious way marketing to raise money for ALS, a good cause. But I wonder how many people did that challenge because they only felt pressured to do it. And I wonder how many people did that but then didn't give any money to ALS. Right? You know we can pressure a lot of people in different ways to be givers. But really on the inside, you know, maybe they didn't want to give, but they gave because they felt pressured. You know, and in church, sometimes it can feel like it's that kind of environment. Right? In church, it can feel like a very pressured environment to be a giver. And especially the more and more you get involved in the activities of the congregation, the more and more areas you see that are in need of your support, of your giving. Right? And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about giving of your time, your energy, your effort, and yes, your money. Right? But giving, sometimes we can feel very pressured. Right now, we've been going through a sermon series on what is worship. And if you notice already this morning that I'm using a little bit different format, talking about worship. Because listen, giving is part of your worship. Right? A little bit earlier, you came in and you put money in the collection baskets out there. It used to be before COVID, we would pass them out during the worship service, and I'm sure some point in the future we're going to do that again. And when that basket is passed around as part of our worship, right? When you put money in that basket, that's part of your worship. We're called as God's people to give on the first day of the week. Sometimes, do you ever feel pressured to do that? Right? Have you ever done this? I've done it. The basket's going around and it's getting close. You go to reach for your check in your pocket or your purse. You go, oh, I left it at home. Or the cash or whatever, you know, that you give. Do you ever, like, you almost want to turn around and say, hey, no, really, I'm going to give. I just forgot my check at home. And you think maybe someone's watching you when in reality they're probably not. And if they are, they're not thinking that. But anyways, it kind of speaks to sometimes we feel pressured. Maybe that's a good thing sometimes. But I want us to think about when we're giving, are we giving because we feel pressured? Or is it because it's something about who we are? We're thankful people for what God has given us. And I got to give back. It's just who I am. I have to give back. I want to read a little bit of a story here. W.A. Criswell relates this story, and I want to read it. It tells a story about a young man just getting started. This was from the early 1950s. He was just getting started. He didn't go to college, but he was a real kind of a go-getter, the story tells, type of person, real hard worker. So he comes to W.A. Criswell, and he says to him, I want to become a man of God and be pleasing to God with my giving, and I want to give 10% of all my earnings to tithe. Now, side note, your New Testament doesn't command tithing, if you didn't know that. It doesn't command giving 10%. And if you want to do that from the Old Testament standard, it's actually closer to 19% when you put it all together. So that's kind of a side note there. We're supposed to give free will offering in Christianity, but that's just a side note. And so Criswell says, sure, I'll help you. I want you to keep that as an honor to God. And they prayed for God to bless his career. And at that time, he was making $40 a week and tithing $4. So a few years later, this young man, he'd done great in his business. Now he was making $1,000 a week. And he calls Criswell up on the phone and he says to him, is there any way that I can get out of my vow to give 10% tithe to God? You see, now I'm making about $1,000 a week. So now I'm giving at least $100 a week. And that's a rather large chunk of change now. I'd like to back out of my vow to God for a 10% tithe. How do I do that? And here's Criswell's response. He said, I don't know how you back out of a vow to God, but here's what I'll do with you. Why don't we get together and pray that God blesses you only with $40 a week again, because it was easier for you to give $4 back then. And Criswell says the young man then hung up the phone. You see, bottom line is given, it's either a part of who you are or it becomes a forced part based upon the people around you. When Paul here was ending his goodbye talk to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, these words are recorded, beginning in verse 33. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities. And for those who are with me, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what's very interesting is that statement from Jesus. If you go back to the gospel accounts, you're not going to find those words. So at some point after that, after Jesus ascended to heaven and he was speaking with Paul, he gave him these words as a teaching for him to share with the brethren. So the question becomes, with that being a statement from Jesus, right, how do you become a good giver? Right? And some people, it just seems, are naturally givers, right? And that's one aspect, I guess. But for the most part, it takes a lot of work to become a good giver. And it's not overly easy to become a good giver. I want to share just a couple passages with you. Galatians, the 6th chapter first, if you would, if you have your Bibles. Jump over to Galatians chapter 6. And I want you to consider something here that Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, gave us concerning being a giver. Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Now, over in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, part of our scripture reading earlier, that same idea Paul wrote about. I want you to look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We had verses 6 and 7 read to us. That he's going to talk about here that if we become people that give, we become people that are blessed. Right? And sometimes this is a passage that we read right before we talk about our contribution or have our prayer for contribution. Listen to it again. Beginning in verse 6 here. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, feeling forced to, right? For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Many times we just read verses 6 and 7 and we stop there. But if you keep reading here, he's going to continue to talk about giving, being a giving people. Right in verse 9, he says, let me remind you of some Old Testament things. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. In other words, be reminded, our God is a giver. He's constantly giving. Many times physically, but always spiritually to his people. And it's this point here that he's going to talk about giving as a congregation, as a people. In verse 10, now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched and everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. God, we recognize, is such a giver. And when we see that, we appreciate it, that He is so giving to us, then naturally we're going to be givers to others. We're going to give to His church. We're going to give to one another. We're going to give to the poor. We're going to give to those in need. Not just our money, but our time, our effort, our energy. So the question becomes, do you understand the blessings of God, and are you a giver? Are you giving as you should? Will you give in this way tomorrow? Will you set your alarm clock 10 minutes early? 10 minutes early. Will you give us your time? Wake up 10 minutes early and go to God in prayer for this congregation. Will you give in that manner? Will you give us your time? Or will you go in prayer and give someone that's sick or having difficulties, will you give them that time in prayer to God on their behalf? You see, there's many ways that we can be givers. Right? And you think about, you know, the elders and the deacons, those who fill those qualifications, they give of their time and their effort and their heartache. They're giving. And those who teach. And those who did all the wonderful things, like yesterday for the ladies' brunch. Givers. Right? And those, even, you know, some people are just good at making money. And they've been blessed by God. You know, they give more in that sense. Right? You can be a giver. You know, whatever skill maybe you have. We have men that are good with computers. They give their time and their effort to help figure out those kind of things. Or with decorations or things like that. You know, if you're a teacher and you love children and you're giving of your time helping teach our children in class. And of course it goes on and on and on. You know, if everyone gave what you gave, time, effort, and money, would we have to close the doors tomorrow? Right? And once we truly understand and appreciate what God has given us by nature, we're just going to be givers. And it's not forced, but it's from an understanding of who our God is and what He's blessed us with. I want you to think about here what He's talking about. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. I learned to express my thanks to God for what He has given me. My God is so great. He's so wonderful. You know what? I hope you're here this evening. We're going to talk about adoration and praise to the Father as we approach this week of Thanksgiving. Will you give God your time this evening? Will you do that? And we'll come together and we'll be reminded of the magnitude of our mighty God and give Him our time and that praise and that adoration. You know, we like to receive, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. You couldn't have givers if you didn't have receivers. You know, if we received every gift that came to us, we couldn't bless others. Remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. They wouldn't get that blessing if we wouldn't receive it. So the idea really becomes the blessings will come when we learn what it means to be a giver, and that's not an easy lesson. Philippians, the fourth chapter. If you would, go over to Philippians, the fourth chapter with me. I'd like you to be reminded of something here. He ended the book, Philippians 4, verses 14 and 15. Paul writes, nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Paul's saying, I commend what you have done, not just because I'm in need. Right? He says, you've always been a giving congregation. And he says, you've been meeting my needs when nobody else was meeting my needs. And he says, it was because you saw the purpose behind the giving. Right? They didn't just feel compelled to give. They saw the purpose behind the giving. Or I keep reading verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities, not that I seek the gift. Now uses, notice here what word Paul uses. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. That word account in the Greek, it's a banking term. We're stated differently here. I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Basically, I have received full payment and more. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. Remember, Paul's in prison here. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Now, in this sermon series, we've been talking about what's acceptable to God. Great teaching there on that, by the way. This is acceptable to God. That there was a people that saw a need, and they gave because they saw the purpose behind the giving, and it wasn't because they felt forced to do it. What a wonderful teaching. He said, you've learned what it means to give, and it's just become who you are. And here's a lesson for us. We don't give in order to get. That's manipulation. We give because we understand what God has given us. And so it's just naturally who we are. We're givers because God has given us so much. More than we could ever earn or deserve. And so we give. And we think about the ending of this teaching here. We'll finish up the lesson in just a moment. You see, we will never give as we should if we never fully appreciate what was given to us, what was given so freely to us. If we never appreciate the great blessings of God that He's bestowed upon us. So if you're struggling in your giving, maybe that's the area you need to work on. If you're struggling in giving the Lord and His people your time and your effort, your energy, your prayers, your money, maybe that's where you're struggling. Maybe that's what you need to address. You need to realize, see, appreciate what God has given you, and that you'd have absolutely nothing without God. You see, finding real joy is being a giver. Paul wrote in this beautiful, powerful, passionate letter here to the Philippian church. He keeps saying again and again, be thankful, live thankful lives. Mirroring the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. It's about where you're putting your treasures. You start putting your treasures in the right place, that's being a giver. That's when the real joy and rejoicing comes into your heart. 16 times in the book of Philippians is the word joy and rejoicing while Paul's sitting in prison. 16 times he understood giving. He understood the blessings that God had bestowed upon him. What a wonderful, wonderful teaching. One last passage here, and we're going to read this, and then the lesson is yours. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. God, I want that peace to rule my heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. He begins the next chapter. But I want you to notice what's between that. Read it all together again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, in teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Listen. We've been talking about worship. And when we gather before God in worship, remember the definition of worship? Getting praise and adoration from your heart to God in the manner that He prescribes. Lord, I'm so thankful for the blessings I have in Christ. I'm going to worship You. And here, part of that worship is singing. Right? Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You're singing. What are you singing about? Well, you're thankful if you remember that lesson about 4 weeks ago. Remember you were down in that pit, Psalm 40? You're down in that pit of sin and despair, and you were stuck in that mud. But God, a lot, he offered you to his hand to lift you out of that pit. And David said, God lifted me out of that pit, and he gave me a new song. Right? You're thankful that God gave you a new song. And he said, I'm going to sing that new song. People are going to see it, they're going to trust, and they're going to praise God. Because now you're thankful because you realize the blessing you received being lifted out of that pit of sin and certain death. And so now we're grateful, singing, thankful people. Now this is going to be easy for me, or easier anyways. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm so thankful I've been saved from sin. I'm so thankful that Jesus went to prepare a place for me. I'm so thankful for the blessings of the church. I'm so thankful for my brothers and my sisters. So everything I'm going to do in word and deed, I'm giving thanks to God for all of that. I'm going to sing that brand new song. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to give him my time and my effort and yes, my money. And I'm just going to be a giver because that's who I am now. And now it's not forced. Paul writes these words here to help us see the need to be a thankful people. Right? The benefit of a spirit of thankfulness. You know, it's often an emotion of happiness, right? I'm thankful to you as a congregation. And I want to be a person that publicly says that as much as I can. I'm thankful for you. What you mean for us. Not only for a salary, but also for the love that you show me and my family. Thank you. I want to thank the elders. You know, we got some wonderful elders here. Be thankful for them. We got some wonderful deacons. We got wonderful teachers. I'm thankful for all my old lady hugs, right? What a blessing is that? That doesn't mean if I hug you, I'm calling you old, by the way. But I'm thankful for that. What a blessing. Let's be a people that are thankful. I'm thankful for when you give the Lord's church your time and your effort. This morning, let's make sure that we are a thankful people. This morning, let's make sure that we've been reconciled to God so that we can be thankful. Right, I want you to think about this morning. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never had your sins washed away in obedience to the gospel, be thankful that you have this opportunity right now to do that. You may never get another chance. But God has loved you enough, be thankful, that he's given you this opportunity right here, right now, this morning, to obey the gospel. Have you done that? The Bible says you reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in baptism, immersion. You can do that because you believe in God and you're thankful to God for Jesus and what he did for you. And you're willing to repent of your sins. And you're willing to confess him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be thankful you got this opportunity. If you've done that, and maybe you lived a life that wasn't thankful and that's caused you to separate from God, be thankful that you have this opportunity here this morning to be reconciled to God. Well, what a wonderful thought to know that all of us could leave this assembly this morning being reconciled to God, one people. What a great blessing. Do you need to express that thankfulness to God this morning? Is there anything that we can help you with spiritually? Don't hesitate. Please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.